Hey there, welcome back to the Happy Family Coach Podcast. I'm Danielle Alvarez Greer, and today we're going to get real about building a home filled with love, joy, and God's presence. But here's the thing, life isn't always picture perfect, right? Maybe you're starting over later in life, or maybe your family's been through some rough patches. Can you still turn things around and create a healthy home, even if you've made a few missteps along the way? Well, stick around because we're about to find out together. Welcome to the Happy Family Coach Podcast, your guide to rewriting the story of your family's legacy. I'm Danielle Alvarez Greer, here to help you navigate the twists and turns of family life, faith, and personal growth. Get ready for practical tools, spiritual insights, and heartfelt conversations to transform your family dynamic. Welcome to the Happy Family Coach Podcast, where real life challenges meet real solutions. All right, picture this: a beautiful home on the outside, on the inside filled with chaos and dysfunction, where every day felt like a battle just to survive. Can you relate? That was my reality in my first marriage. But you know what? God's grace literally changed everything. I was recently divorced, and I remember the moment when I realized that I had no power or control to break the generational chains of dysfunction, that I needed to rely on the Lord's strength and His power to help me create a new legacy for my family. It wasn't easy, and it definitely didn't happen overnight. There were many bumps along the way. Being a single mom is extremely challenging. But with Jesus at the center, He was able to transform our new home from a place of despair to a haven of hope and healing. It was definitely a journey going from child-centered reactionary parenting to Christ-centered parenting. After my divorce, I had the realization that I was going to be a single mom. I had a lot of unknowns and questions that I wrestled with. Questions like, how did I need to raise my children now as a single parent? What did I want it to look and feel like? How was I going to teach them something entirely different than how I was raised? How was I going to actually break the generational chains? Here I was, navigating the rocky terrain of a tumultuous divorce, and the weight of responsibility felt heavier than ever before. As I looked around at the shattered remnants of my once picture-perfect facade of a life, I realized that something truly needed to change. For far too long, our home had been centered around our children, their needs, their demands, and their desires. They took precedence over anything else, everything else. As I was wrestling with these questions, I remember this quiet voice whispering to my soul, that's what it feels like, urging me to turn back to God for guidance and strength. And so it was a journey of recognition and self-awareness, of peeling back the layers of my heart to uncover the truth that had been buried beneath, which was years of hurt and brokenness. I had to confront the reality that my children belong to God, first and foremost, and that my role as their mama was to steward them with love and wisdom, not with control and not with manipulation. I began to see them through God's eyes as precious gifts entrusted to my care for a season. But ultimately, they belong to Him. And this shift in perspective was revolutionary for me. It transformed the way I began to approach parenting and how I discipline them. Instead of reacting out of fear, anger, or frustration, I knew I needed to learn how to discipline them from a place of love and respect. I needed to model the same grace and forgiveness that God extends to each of us. Instead of collapsing into helplessness, into a fetal position when I became overwhelmed by their tantrums, I instead learned how to stand firm on Scripture, that would help me stand confident in my role as their mama. Instead of parenting out of guilt and giving in to their demands, I began to feel comfortable and okay with my children not having to have everything they demanded. It was okay to say no and not need their permission to do so. I remember one time someone asked me, why did I, at the end of every command I gave my children or every question, did I ask for their permission? Meaning, why did I say, oh, Reese, it's time to clean up our mess, okay? Sawyer, it's time to put up our toys and go to bed, okay? And I don't know about you, but what toddler or child do you know that will agree with you and say, sure, okay? No, that's not the norm. It's actually a protest. No, I'm not ready to go to bed. No, I don't want to put up my toys. I don't want to do that. And so then we set ourselves up to feel guilty and to pity them, and then we get resentful and bitter. All of this was not easy, and there were many moments of doubt and uncertainty and fear, but with God's guidance, I did find strength to persevere. As I immersed myself in His Word and surrounded myself with a community of believers who supported and uplifted me, I began to see the fruits of my labor. My home became this sacred space, a sanctuary of peace and love. It was a place where God's presence was palpable and His grace was abundant. Don't let me fool you again. It was not perfect. We still had lots of incidents, and I still would react and fall into my old defense strategies, but I was quicker to own my part and be accountable and to come to them and ask for forgiveness. In doing so, demonstrated and modeled for them how to do the same. As I sit here today, I reflect on the journey from our chaos to Christ-centered living. I'm filled with this immense gratitude for how faithful our God is. He took what was broken and made it whole, turning my pain into purpose and my mess into a message of hope. And so, dear listener, if you find yourself in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, know that there is hope. Know that God is with you every step of the way. He's ready to guide you toward a life of abundance and purpose. Trust in His unfailing love and let Him lead you on your own journey toward Christ-centered living and Christ-centered parenting. So, how do we go about building a healthy home environment, even if you're starting late in the game, like I was? Let's break it down into 7 practical steps. One of the first steps I took in creating a healthy home environment was prioritizing prayer and spiritual connection as our little family of 3. So even if you're starting later in life, or perhaps you've never considered yourself a religious person, it's never too late to invite God into your home. Prayer became our lifeline. It was a way for me to seek guidance, to find strength, and to experience God's presence in the midst of life challenges. We began to incorporate prayer into our meals, blessing every meal. We would pray at night when we would lay in bed together, and I would ask each of the kids to just share some ways that God was showing up in their lives and what they were grateful for, and also something that maybe they were struggling with and something maybe that they needed to repent of. That became our daily routine. On the way to school each day, I would pray over them, and I would invite them to join me in prayer, and we would just start our day off in prayer and end our day in prayer. Our second tip is learning how to set boundaries with love. Setting boundaries with love, it sounds sort of counterintuitive, but it was another crucial aspect of our journey toward creating a healthy home environment. And setting healthy limits and loving boundaries actually helped prepare us for 3 years later down the road when I would meet Jack and we would become married and we would blend our families. It really helped that those boundaries were set in place. So I had this light bulb moment, and I realized that in order to create a more harmonious home, that I needed to establish clear boundaries that were rooted in love and respect. So I sat my children down and the three of us had an open and honest conversation about what behaviors were acceptable and what behaviors were not acceptable. I'd love to share some of the loving boundaries and healthy limits that I set for my children in order to go from child-centered to Christ-centered home. My children are now 21 and 17, and they have actually thanked me for having set this boundary and limit for them. I decided that cell phones and any electronic devices were a huge privilege, and I had already been counseling a lot of families at this point, and cell phone and devices were one of the biggest issues that created just havoc and conflict in families. And so I just knew that was something that we weren't going to have. So our rule is, and it still stands to this day, is no cell phones until you are a freshman in high school, and absolutely no social media until your senior year of high school. It wasn't easy because I think every single one of their friends had iPhones and unlimited screen time. And so there was a lot of FOMO, but I knew that establishing these limits on screen time were actually going to help my children to prioritize other activities in their lives, like spending time with family. We made it a priority to sit down together for almost every meal besides lunch while they were at school. I wanted them to engage in outdoor play, which they did. They were so creative and got all the neighborhood kids to play outside. And they both loved to read, so they might spend time just reading in our little nook. Or my son enjoyed playing Legos, so he would just spend time playing Legos. I treated it as a huge privilege and something that I felt like their little minds were not ready for yet. And I don't want anybody to feel ashamed or that I'm condemning you if you have chosen to allow your children to have screen time. But if you are noticing that it has become a conflict and that is creating division in your family, that it might be time to set some specific time frames or screen time boundaries, and to encourage alternative activities that may foster creativity and social interaction. Having a good bedtime routine was also one of the boundaries that I set in place. I wanted to promote that they had healthy sleep habits, and I wanted to ensure that they got the rest that they needed to thrive the next day and the next day and the next day. So we set a designated bedtime, and then we established like this really calming routine. We had a bath routine, and we would read books, and we would do prayers, and we would have some snuggle time and just make that time so special. Another really healthy boundary is teaching them about respectful communication and the importance of it by modeling it. First and foremost, I had to model it myself and setting clear expectations of how each of them should speak to one another. And I wanted to encourage open dialogue, and I wanted to participate in listening well and actively. As part of this communication, we would address conflicts with kindness and compassion and empathy and accountability and humility. And instead of resorting to yelling and harsh words or blaming, we would use the Happy Kid Toolkit many times to address what was really going on and to look at the heart of the matter. Chores and responsibilities were another healthy limit and boundary that I set in place early on. It's really important that we assign age-appropriate chores and responsibilities for our children. It actually teaches them valuable life skills and instills a sense of accountability and teamwork. Who doesn't want to feel like they're part of a team? When assigning these age-appropriate chores to our children, it's really important that we clearly communicate what each child's task is and what our expectations are. At a very young age, I actually invited my children into the kitchen with me to help me chop, to help me saute, to help me wash dishes, to help me put groceries up, to involve them in grocery shopping. And as they got a little bit older and I felt like they were capable of taking on that task, then they began to unload or load the dishwasher or do their own laundry. Healthy eating habits was also a really great thing to teach my children, and it's a great thing to teach your children. Encouraging healthy eating habits by providing them with nutritious meals and snacks and helping them to set guidelines for mealtime behavior. What do we expect when we're sitting at the table, when we're at a friend's house? A really good example is my daughter. She loves sweets and she also loved her snacks. She used to say knacks because she couldn't say her S's when she was younger. And just learning that when I gave her lots of snacks throughout the day, she would not sit down to eat her meal when it came time for dinner or lunch. And I was getting frustrated. And I realized that I had a part in that. And so I had to take accountability and recognize, wait a minute, I'm giving her the snacks. And so just beginning to limit that and suggest maybe another activity. Oftentimes our kids get bored and they'll eat when they're bored. So distracting them or having them engage in another activity will definitely steer them away from snacking all day. It's great when we can use mealtime as an opportunity to express gratitude for God's provision and to engage in meaningful conversation as a family. You wouldn't believe some of the most amazing conversations that take place around the dinner table. It's one of the highlights of my day, and I believe, I can't speak for them, but I think they might say that they enjoy being around the dinner table and just having that family time to have conversation. It doesn't have to be some elaborate, fancy meal, just something healthy and nourishing for our bodies and for their little bodies. Okay, let's step into tip number 3, which is scripture study and reflection. So for me and my children, engaging in scripture study and then reflecting on it, it really became a cornerstone of our family's journey toward healing after the divorce and towards wholeness. We discovered that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, guiding us toward his best for our lives. And even if you're just starting, you're starting later in life, meaning you're just a new Christian, or maybe you're not even a Christian yet and you're questioning your faith. Perhaps you've never even cracked open a Bible before. There's no better time than now to dive into the riches of God's word and discover the hope and healing that it offers for you, for your children, for your spouse. It's truly amazing and life-changing. Okay, tip 4, serve others together. Another key aspect of creating a healthy home environment is serving others together as a family. Whether it's volunteering at a local charity, participating in a service project, lending a helping hand to a neighbor in need, serving others not only blesses those around us, but it also strengthens our bonds as a family. By modeling Christ's love and compassion to those in our community, and there's such a need in our community, it wouldn't take long and you wouldn't have to search hard to find where there is need, where your family could serve. But by doing that, we actually cultivate a spirit of generosity and empathy within our own home. Both of my children, when they were younger, they attended a Mother's Day Out program. It was just 2 days a week at the Siskin Children's Institute here in Chattanooga. And it was a school for special needs children, but they allowed a certain number of peer children, these are children without special needs, to come
and be a part of the learning environment, the classroom. It was such an amazing experience for both of my children. They saw no difference in their friends. They knew that they needed special help or maybe didn't have the same understanding as them, but it really did instill this compassion and empathy, and they became helpers. They wanted to help their special needs friends learn how to climb the stairs, go down the slides, how to play a certain game or sing a song. It was really a truly valuable experience that they still talk about and remember to this day. Let's move on to tip number 5, which is all about forgiveness and reconciliation. So both are essential components of creating a healthy home environment that is rooted in faith. As families, we are bound to encounter conflicts and misunderstandings, and it's actually how we handle these challenges that truly define the atmosphere of our home. By extending grace and forgiveness to one another, we create space for healing and reconciliation, which allows God's love to shine through even in the midst of our imperfections. You know, when I look back on my own family journey, one of the most profound lessons I've learned is the power of forgiveness and reconciliation. I'll never forget a particular moment that stands out to me. It was a moment that truly tested our family's commitment to forgiveness and grace. My son had been sent home with a letter from one of his teachers from elementary school. And before going to him to discuss it with him, to find out his part of the story, his part of the conflict, I immediately reacted, which is not something that I typically teach, coach, or counsel families. I always say it's so important to sit down and have that discussion with your child if there's something that happened at school instead of reacting first. But, you know, I'm human and I sinned against my son. I reacted, and instead of going to him, I unplugged the Xbox that he was playing because they got a little bit of gaming time after school. And I immediately gave the ultimatum that he would not be able to play his game for a week because of the letter I got home from his teacher. And of course, he was really upset and he reacted, and we were both in the blaming bully on the triangle. And later he called me out on it. He said, "Mama, how you behaved, how you reacted without hearing my part of the story was not very Christ-like." Ugh, dagger to the heart. Because he was right. As much as my flesh flared up and I wanted to be prideful and make excuses and defend myself, I knew that I needed to step into humility. And it was definitely by the help and the power of the Holy Spirit that I was able to humble myself and turn to him and admit that he was right and that I was in the wrong and that I asked for forgiveness. There have been countless other times that I've had to own my part and come in humility asking for forgiveness and repenting of my sin. And they've also done the same. They've had to come to me countless times and apologize, ask for forgiveness. And looking back on all of these experiences, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, who taught us to forgive others as we ourselves have been forgiven. And I've also come to realize that forgiveness isn't just a one-time event. It's a daily choice that we have to make, and sometimes even when it's the hardest thing in the world to do. But I've also seen firsthand the incredible power of forgiveness to transform lives and relationships. When we choose to let go of bitterness and resentment and instead extend grace and love to one another, we create this space for healing and reconciliation to take place. So if you're listening today and you're struggling to forgive someone in your own life, I want to encourage you to take that first step toward healing
It may not be easy and it may take time, but I believe that God's grace is more than sufficient to meet you where you are and lead you toward a future filled with hope and restoration. Okay, y'all, we have two tips left. Let's move into tip six, which is gratitude and trust in God's provision. So cultivating an attitude of gratitude and trusting in God's provision is really vital for creating this healthy and faith-filled home environment that we've been discussing. Even in the midst of trials and uncertainties, we can find reasons to give thanks and trust that God is faithful and that He does provide for every need. By focusing on the blessings we've received and by expressing gratitude to God and to one another, we will foster a spirit of joy and contentment that permeates our home and strengthens our faith. It's really easy to get caught up in our day-to-day busyness and challenges of life. However, taking time to pause and reflect on God's faithfulness can bring a sense of peace and perspective that transcends all of our circumstances. I want to just share some ways to practice gratitude and trusting in God's provision. We can teach our kids to keep a gratitude journal and just take a few minutes each day to write down three things that they're grateful for. It could be something as simple as a beautiful sunrise, or that they won their soccer game, or a kind word that they received from a friend. By focusing on the blessings in their lives, they'll be able to cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Another way to practice gratitude and teach our kids is for them to count their blessings. When they're faced with challenges or difficulties, to have them just take a moment to count their blessings and remember all the ways that God has provided for them in the past. By them learning how to shift their focus from what's lacking to what's abundant, it's amazing to see the renewed strength and confidence when we focus on God's faithfulness. Another way to practice gratitude is to give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." No matter what season of life we're in, it's so important that we cultivate a habit of giving thanks in all circumstances. Even in the midst of trials and challenges, easier said than done, I know, there is always something to be thankful for. By choosing to focus on God's goodness and faithfulness, we will actually find that our perspectives will shift and our hearts will overflow with gratitude. And last but not least, tip number seven, faith-filled conversations. Fostering faith-filled conversations within our families is crucial for nurturing spiritual growth and connection. Whether it's discussing a passage of scripture, sharing testimonies of God's faithfulness, or praying together as a family, these conversations deepen our relationship with God and with one another. By creating a safe space for sharing experiences and asking questions and seeking guidance, we encourage each other on our spiritual journey and we strengthen our bond as a family. As parents or guardians, our actions speak louder than words. It's important that we model authenticity and vulnerability, and we do that by sharing our own struggles, our own doubts, and then also our triumphs in our faith journeys. By opening up about our experiences, we create a safe space for our family members to do the same. Another practical way to foster authentic and vulnerable discussions within your family is to set aside dedicated time for these faith-filled conversations. This could be during mealtimes, before bedtime, or during a weekly family devotional. You have to make it a priority to gather together and discuss topics such as prayer, scripture, and personal reflections. And I know it's hard because we all have busy schedules and our children have busy school and extracurricular sports schedules. But if it's our intention to have healthy home environments, then we really have to make the effort and pray for the Lord to create that space. Another practical way is to ask open-ended questions. As a family and parent coach, I am all about open-ended questions, and I'm sure my kids would tell you that it gets on their nerves sometimes. But in order to encourage deeper conversation, it's important that we do ask open-ended questions. These type questions invite reflection and sharing. So instead of, did you have a good day today? Which the answer is either yes, no, or I don't know. You could ask, how did you experience God's presence today? Or what are some challenges that you're facing in your faith? Or some trials and hardships that are causing you to question God and question your faith? Let's talk about those things. No shame. Mom's faith wavers at times as well and is challenged daily. We have to get better at practicing active listening and having empathy during these family discussions. It is important that we validate our family members' thoughts and feelings, even if we don't necessarily agree. We want to create a judgment-free zone where everyone feels heard and respected. Be genuine. Authenticity is key to fostering meaningful connections with our kids and within our family. Encourage honesty and transparency in your conversations and let them know it's okay to wrestle with difficult questions or doubts. Pray together. Incorporate prayer into your family conversations as a way to invite God's presence and guidance. Pray for each other's concerns, joys, struggles, and give thanks for God's faithfulness in your lives. Celebrate milestones together, whether it's a baptism or a personal breakthrough in faith. Acknowledge and celebrate these moments together. But please remember that initiating and facilitating faith-filled conversations is not about having all the answers or preaching at your children. It's about creating a space where everyone feels valued, heard, and supported in their spiritual journey. So be patient, be present, and above all, be guided by love as you navigate these conversations together. If you're taking notes, I'm going to quickly just go through these 7 tips. Number 1 is prayer and spiritual connection. Invite God into your home through prayer and seek His guidance in all you do. Number 2, set boundaries with love. Establish healthy boundaries rooted in love and respect for each family member. Number 3, scripture study and reflection. Dive into God's word together as a family and let it guide your actions and decisions. Number 4, serve others together. Look for opportunities to serve your community and model Christ's love to those around you. Number 5, forgiveness and reconciliation. Practice forgiveness and reconciliation, knowing that God's grace covers all of our mistakes. And number 6, gratitude and trust. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude and trust in God's provision, even in the tough times. And finally, number 7, faith-filled conversations. Keep the lines of communication open about faith and spirituality and support one another on your journey. As we wrap up our time together today, I want to encourage you that no matter where you are on your journey, it's never too late to create a healthy and faith-filled home environment for your family. By prioritizing prayer and spiritual connection, setting boundaries with love, engaging in scripture study and reflection, serving others together, practicing forgiveness and reconciliation, cultivating gratitude and trust in God's provision, and fostering faith-filled conversations, you can build a home where love, joy, and God's presence abound. Thank you for joining me today on the Happy Family Coach podcast. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe for more practical insights and inspiration for your family journey. I'd love to hear from you, so feel free to share your thoughts and experiences in the comments or connect with me on social media. Until next time, may God bless you and your family abundantly as you seek to create a healthy and faith-filled home environment. Take care and God bless.